This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. 58 degrees in Chicago under sunny skies. Topping out at 60 today, mostly sunny and cool. We'll have the AccuWeather forecast in just a couple of minutes.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Rob, we are in record-breaking territory for at least two of the three main averages. The Dow is up 41 points, 22,912 is the level. NASDAQ also higher by 6 points at 66.12. The S&P is just 1 point off its highest ever level, gaining 1 point. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.2%. Helping feed Wall Street's upside bump is the only big economic report of note today. New York area manufacturing as measured by the New York Fed's Empire Index finds a bigger jump than forecast, showing business activity expanding at its best clip in 3 years. We are watching shares of Amex slide as the U.S. Supreme Court places the company on its docket. The High Court has agreed to consider reviving government allegations that Amex thwarts competition by prohibiting retailers from steering customers to cards with lower fees. And Nordstrom's controlling family has suspended its efforts to take its company private for the rest of the year. Work to acquire the company's outstanding shares will continue after the holidays. Stock in Nordstrom tanking, down almost 6.5%. Back to you, Robin Cisco.
Well, coming up at 12:09, we will talk about the week ahead, some new numbers that have come out today, and the Senate taking on the Trump tax reform plan. And then at 12:19, 2018 is not too far away, just 2.5 months down the road. So how you can start next year on the right financial foot.
Our Monday stock picker will join us. A couple of pieces of advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The week ahead will include a look at the leading indicators while the Senate takes on the Trump tax plan. Plus, there's change in the air at the Fed. We're joined by Richard DeCaeser, economist at Wells Fargo, based in Washington. Richard, before we take a look at some of the other numbers that are coming out this week, let's talk about the political back and forth in Washington as the Senate takes up the Trump tax reform, tax cut plan. We had a piece on our CBS Hourly newscast saying that President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, they're not exactly the best of friends these days, but they need each other to get this thing through. Based on the bad blood there, does it look like this tax plan is going to become a reality in its present form?
I don't think so. I think, as a procedural matter, it's important that the Senate pass this because it then enables them to use certain parliamentary rules to get around the 60-vote majority required. It's a process called reconciliation. It's technical, but the bottom line is if they pass something, they can engage in this easier threshold to enact legislation later. Now, that doesn't mean, in my view, that it's still going to happen. A lot of the details on the tax plan have been left very, very fuzzy. They will be clarified. They need to be clarified as it starts to take form in explicit legislation. But I think that as those elements are clarified, that political mobility or against it is going to rise up. And I'd put the odds against the tax plan this year or next.
So if a lot of the run-up in the stock market over the past, year now, has been predicated upon some sort of tax reform or tax cut plan getting through Congress in 2017. If it doesn't happen, what happens to the markets?
I don't think the stock market increase has been totally predicated on corporate tax cuts. I think that's been an element, but I think we've seen better than expected earnings results, and I think that's happened, helped quite a bit. I think we've also seen much lower interest rates than was expected at the start of the year, and that's also helped. So I wouldn't say that the whole, it's a house of cards built entirely on promise of a tax cut, which is not likely to materialize. I think there's other elements that could offset that.
So if you were in those negotiations, what would you like to see as far as changes in the tax code?
Oh, I think simplification is a good thing. I think, for example, the corporate tax statutory rate in this country is 35%, but the effective rate is 25%, meaning that what's on the books has so many loopholes and exemptions that it doesn't really matter writ large. I think that's wrong. And the industries that pay more and pay less are incredibly varied. Those with powerful accounting arms are able to basically use what loopholes exist in the existing tax code to lower their liabilities. So simplification is a great idea. Reducing the overall rate, I think, would also be a great idea. Getting that 35 statutory rate down to something in the 20 to 25% range would also be good for our economy, good for overall economic growth, bringing back also some of the dollars that are residing overseas unnecessarily. So there's lots of opportunities. Simplification, lower broader base, lower rates, but it's going to require the hard work of closing those painful loopholes, and that's where it begins, politically becomes tough sledding.
President Trump is going to have not only Fed chair, but a few nominations to the Fed. Does he really have an opportunity to completely change the Fed?
He really does. The Board of Governors, which is the ultimate policymaking body, he has that opportunity to replace six of those seven seats just based on already announced and statutory required term endings. So that's huge. We've started in that direction just last week. I think Randy Quarles was the vice chair appointed, nominated and approved by the Senate. But there's still vacancies aplenty, including the Fed chair, which expires in next February.
Thanks a lot, Richard DeKayser, economist at Wells Fargo in Washington. Coming up next, 2018 approaching quickly, so now's a great time to review your finances.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The new year is just 2.5 months away. Probably a good time to take stock of your financial situation and make some plans for 2018. Let's get some help from Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, also author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, and Deal With Your Debt, based in Los Angeles. Liz, let's begin with investments, because this is probably a pretty good time for people to take a look at how their money is invested.
Yeah, the market's up about 16% so far this year, which means if you haven't done anything with your investments, they're probably a little too stock heavy. So if you're not into something that's automatically rebalancing you, like a robo-advisor, a lifestyle fund, target date retirement fund, something like that, it's time to take a look, sell some of your winners, buy some more of the losers, or however you do it to get yourself back in line with an asset allocation that makes sense for your individual situation.
Now, ordinarily, looking at taxes and how you can sort of plan for that and strategize is a good idea, but a lot of uncertainty in Washington as far as taxes goes. Is there a way we can still strategize?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the things that you would normally do, you can keep doing. Like, take a look if you itemize your deductions, you should look at, okay, do I want to make some more charitable contributions right now? Do I want to prepay a mortgage deduction? Because most people, the idea is that their tax bill would be going down. There's a few exceptions, and again, there's a lot of uncertainty about it. But I would just go with what you know now, which is you probably want to reduce the tax bill that you have, rather than put all your money on a bet in the future. So that's something to do. And just doing a tax projection to make sure that you have enough withheld for the year is really important for just about everybody. So you can do that online. You can go to your CPA or tax pro and make sure that you're not going to be paying penalties for not having enough withheld.
As you're trying to shuffle your assets that may be in your retirement account, on an age-by-age basis or maybe a decade-by-decade basis, what's the best kind of allocation, say, if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s?
That's really hard to say. We used to say, take your age and subtract your age from 100, and that's what you should have in bonds. And then it was like, okay, 110. The reality is people's risk tolerance is all over the map. And sometimes, that's going to be too much. Sometimes it's going to be not enough. I think there's some fairly good calculators online that can help you sort of fine-tune that. But really, it's so individual, it's really hard to say. So if you are somebody that's got a target date retirement plan, one of those funds, that might be something just to default to, and then you can fine-tune it from there.
And then also, you know, taking stock of your own situation, you know, what would be perhaps, say, a good tipping point for refinancing your mortgage?
You know, we used to say had to save at least 2 percentage points to make the cost worth it. Fortunately, the costs have come down. And now, generally, if there's a 1% difference, it might be worthwhile. But you have to take a look at the details of every situation and, you know, get a few quotes to make sure that you're getting the best deal.
Great advice as always. Thanks for being with us. Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet. Coming up, we'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest on the markets now from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Well, we have gains across the board with the Dow up 57 points or 0.25% now. We are looking at 23,000. It could happen. The benchmark right now at 22,927. NASDAQ up 9 points. S&P higher by 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index remains lower by 0.1%. Wall Street is digesting the latest comments from Fed Chair Janet Yellen. She says the central bank expects to continue gradually raising interest rates despite steady inflation, and bank stocks are among the top gainers. JP Morgan is contributing the most to the Dow's advance. Facebook is looking to hire people who have national security clearances. It's a move the company thinks is needed to prevent foreign powers from manipulating future elections through its social network. Facebook has been under pressure after disclosing it did sell ads during the presidential race to buyers it later learned were connected to Russia. Crude oil futures higher by almost 1% and closing in on $52 a barrel. For a check of the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains are lower across the board. Corn's been down 2.5 to 3. We are down 2.25 in December at 3.50 and 1.5. Beans have been down as much as 10. November's are down 8.5 at 9.91 and 3/4, and December wheat down 3.75 at 4.35 and 3/4 on renewing of harvests after the dry wet last week, the wet last week. So lower across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are pushing higher. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Shares of Apple get an upgrade courtesy of more expensive iPhone models.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some ideas from an investing pro.
Members of the support staff at a suburban school district are on strike today while teachers at another consider a walkout.
Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has pleaded guilty to charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 60 points right now, the S&P 500 up 2.5, and the NASDAQ is up 9.
Beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland throughout your day as we head to a high of 62 degrees. Right now, 58 O'Hare and Midway, 57 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are gaining ground to start the week. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer of the BMO Private Bank based here in Chicago. Jack, welcome back to the program. As you take a look at your screen this morning, you see the three major indices in positive territory. What's your take on the markets as we start the new week?
Yeah, it just underscores this notion that the path of least resistance seems to be higher. We only had one earnings report of note this morning. Charles Schwab did beat their analyst expectations. And so earnings season, while certainly underway for about a week or so, seems pretty good, recognizing that we have a couple of hurricanes and some other disasters to deal with. But all in all, you know, steady economy, low interest rates, a good recipe for risk taking.
And as all eyes turn to Washington and the attempts to get tax reform and tax cuts off the ground, you take a look at some of the relationships between the White House and Capitol Hill. Does this look like something that's going to actually take flight anytime soon?
Boy, you know, if you just interpret what investors are doing, and what I do is just look at the relationship between small cap stocks, these would be the areas of the market that would benefit most from corporate tax cuts, versus large cap stocks, and many of which would end up having to pay more in taxes as these proposals close loopholes. What we find is that small caps outperform large caps by 11 percentage points right after the election, as investors anticipated 100% chance of this reform being passed. Since that time, through August, small caps unwound exactly that 11% to assume then a 0% chance of that tax bill getting passed. And ever since President Trump sat down with Chuck and Nancy and we started to get a little traction, about half of that move has been retraced. So now I would assume, or I estimate that investors assume a just over 50% chance that we are going to see corporate tax reform signed into law.
Let's talk about a couple of companies that are going to be reporting this week. Netflix expected to report today after the bell. In general, do you expect, what are your general thoughts, I guess, on Netflix?
Well, yeah, not remarkable company. You know, here's a story where we have no inflation to speak of, and certainly keeping the markets at bay. And yet, this company announced last week that they're planning to raise prices for their subscribers, suggesting that, you know, they still have very healthy growth and a lot of demand for what they're putting out, and they believe strongly enough in their business to jack up that monthly fee.
Company like Netflix, aren't they almost in a position where, I mean, at some point you do you run out of potential subscribers. I mean, the growth is limited, so at some point it has to be price increases.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, but you also also have to note that when AT&T announced their earnings, they noted that they're losing subscribers to their cable service at a much faster rate than they had seen in the past, as more and more viewers are just fleeing the cable subscription story or satellite and going directly to the source, so to speak, and that's Netflix and others.
As we look at the disruption in big media with some of these streaming services, does it get to a point, though, where you have a lot of companies fighting over smaller pieces of the same pie? For example, you have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime, you have a Hulu subscription, and then you see a lot of people who are hemming and hawing about joining the CBS streaming service so they can watch the new Star Trek series. I mean, after a while, I mean, are we reaching peak streaming?
Yeah, I mean, you make a valid point. I mean, there are only so many hours in the day, and there's certainly a lot of content out there. And I will say the quality of what we're seeing on television has improved dramatically, because I think a lot of these creative directors have a lot more latitude than they did with broadcast television. But, you know, that said, you're right. I mean, how many streaming services, you know, do you really need, unless subscribers are signing up and then quitting, I'm not sure, but it does seem to reach a saturation point.
2 weeks from tomorrow is going to be Halloween. Then after that, we're going to be knee-deep in the holiday shopping season. Given all of the problems that retailers have been experiencing at the shopping malls, is this going to be a year of lighter foot traffic?
You know, that it is a good question, because the trends in retail overall are actually pretty positive. We're seeing consumer confidence ratchet higher. We're seeing retail sales overall pretty strong, actually stronger than overall economic growth. I think it's last time I saw, I think it was 3.2% year over year. You know, even though our economy is growing less than that on an annual basis. But I think that's the key question. Where is that shopping going to get done? The internet sales are rising at a rate of 15% per year, which means that to get that 3% number means that brick and mortar retailers are losing ground. I do think that mall operators, certainly a very difficult year this year, have to figure out what else to do in these big structures that doesn't necessarily involve peddling retail products. Meanwhile, investors have kind of turned away from that sector. So, yeah, I would say based on what the market performance is, more and more investors are believing more and more sales are going online.
Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank here in Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Jack. Up next, some analysts see a better-than-expected 2018 for Apple.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's belief among some analysts that the new Apple iPhone X will drive higher profits for the company. Let's get the perspective of Brian Battle, Director of Trading, Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Brian, before we really dig into some angles on Apple here, what are your general thoughts? Do you believe this new iPhone X is indeed going to drive higher profits?
Well, that's a great question because the iPhone is so important to Apple. Just to put it in context, iPhones are about two-thirds of sales. 65% of sales for Apple comes from the iPhone. So there's always a lot of analysis and opinion around Apple. But even more so now, you know, the first 10 years of the Steve Jobs era, it was the era of the I told you so because Apple said this is what we're going to do and people were skeptical and they always delivered. We're in a different era now and we're at a period now that Tim Cook is in the lead and this is Tim Cook's company now. And so there is some debate and opinion which is beginning to come back again to Apple because maybe they won't be able to deliver this time.
And what they're really banking on, and help me with this, they're almost banking that their people, the people who love iPhones, they love them so much they'll keep paying higher prices, and obviously that helps the company's margins.
Well, that's right, Cisco. So what we've seen is the iPhone 7 costs about $550. They just introduced the 8, which is about $700, and the new iPhone X is like $1,000. So the iPhone 8 is underperforming. They're not selling as many units as they thought. So the Apple is betting that the diehard Appleista, the Apple Intelligista, whoever, will, no matter what, pay for an iPhone X because it's going to be that much better. People are voting right now that the iPhone 7 is $150 better than the iPhone 8. They're not willing to pay more. And Apple is very interested because the iPhone 8 has about $285 in profit in it for Apple. The iPhone X has about $460 in profit, so the iPhone X is way more profitable. They don't have to sell that many more units, so this is something that Apple has always been careful about, is, and I'm going to use an inexact term, but exploiting their customer base. Can they raise prices enough and people, are they still going to pay it? And their dedicated customers, they're betting, will.
Very quickly, how long could Apple ride the iPhone? 5 years, 10 years before moving on to something else?
You know, as long as it keeps innovating, they can keep going. I mean, we might have reached peak iPhone. You know, I don't know what else it can do other than take movies. I mean, it does everything. About 10% of Apple's business comes from iMac, iTunes, and the cloud. Another 10% is Apple Watch and Apple TV. So the soft stuff, you know, storage and pay is where growth is going to come from Apple. The last thing I'd like to say is they might be some cracks in the armor here because there are reports that the iPhone X, iPhone X, is having production problems. They only shipped 46,000 units out of China just this last week because they're having trouble with the dot projector, which is a thing that IDs you when you look at the camera. It recognizes your face instead of your fingerprint. And so Apple is expecting 30 million units of shipments for iPhone in 17 and the beginning of 18. If they can't deliver, they can't make a profit. So that might be a delivery, not innovation, might be the thing that holds Apple back this time.
Thanks a lot, Brian Battle, Director of Trading, Performance Trust Capital Partners, based in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Country Financial, and joining us today is Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the program, and your stock picks for the day, at least one of them, is very old school. You like GM, General Motors.
Yes, good afternoon, Rob and Chris and Cisco. GM has been my stock pick for the year for 2017. I was in a Forbes article and picked it for the year, and it is not disappointed. It's already up 30% this year. So why do I still like it? It's still viewed skeptically as a loser in the electric and autonomous vehicle market. So the market still, the perception is rather poor, and it trades only at an 8 PE. So any news that shows what I believe is a stock that will do better in autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles than is expected, any news on that will cause the stock to continue to rise. It's already, like I said, it's up 30% this year. I think it has another 30 to 50% to run over the next year or two. And you just don't know when those moves are going to happen. So it's just better to just get long and wait it out. GM has a tendency to just sit there for a while, and then a news event will happen. And if you're not in the stock, you're going to miss it. And it runs very quickly. So I love the stock. I've loved it all year. It's already up a lot, but I think it has a lot more to run.
GM currently trading at $45.58 a share.
Hey, Mike, what's your second pick?
Second pick is another kind of skeptically viewed stock, JetBlue. I've loved the airlines. I've loved them for a couple of years. Last year they had a ridiculously good year. This year they've kind of been just stuck in place. And with the airlines, they sit there kind of like GM, and then they make a move, and you have to be in quickly or you'll miss it. And this year, I expect that move to happen in the next 3 to 6 months. These stocks are all cheap, except for Southwest, but JetBlue is especially cheap. And to compare it to Southwest, they're both discount airlines, but Southwest trades at an 18 PE and JetBlue is 10. A lot of people just think JetBlue is not well run compared to Southwest, and that might be true, but I expect that this PE gap will close significantly over the next year or two. So JetBlue should rally 20 to 30% in the next six months to a year.
And JetBlue, 2022 a share. It is down just a tick today. Both picks by Mike Palumbo. General Motors, ticker symbol GM, and JetBlue, JBLU. Thanks, Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading, joining us as our Monday stock picker. If you miss any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app. An update on Wall Street from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest on the markets from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
The news continues to be good from Wall Street. The Dow is up 57 points or 0.25%, and the benchmark's at 22,929. NASDAQ higher by 11, also pushing into uncharted territory. S&P now higher by 3 and also breaking records. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is still lower by 0.1%. Earnings season picks up steam this week. We'll hear from Netflix after the bill today. Investors haven't been worried about a 10% hike in prices the company recently put in place. Shares of Netflix are up more than 60% so far this year. The Nordstrom family has given up for now on buying the department store from shareholders. They say they've had some trouble lining up financing in the current retail environment. They will look at their options after the holidays. Nordstrom stock is sinking 6.33%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.